According to Mark, a person with leprosy approached Jesus, knelt down and begged, "If you are willing, you can heal me." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out a hand, touched the person with leprosy and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy disappeared and the person with the disease was cured. Jesus gave a stern warning and set the person off. "Not a word to anyone," Jesus said. "Go off and present yourself to the priest and make an offering for your healing as Moses commanded, as a testimony to the religious authorities." But the person who had been healed went off and began to proclaim the whole matter freely, making the story public. As a result, it was no longer possible for Jesus to enter a town openly, and Jesus stayed in lonely places. Even so, people kept coming to him from all directions. The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some of you probably still play the game. Some of you play the game regularly. It's something like, who's got cooties? Do you guys play that game? It's kind of like It, right? And someone's got them, and then you run around and try to touch someone and contaminate someone else. And then they got the cooties, right? Cooties. That's an interesting word. Back in the day, the ultimate cooties to have was leprosy, and it sets you apart from the community, and as a way of preserving the whole, it was seen best to keep those lepers far away and make sure if they did come close to you, you would know who they were. There's times I've felt like a leper. I invite you to think in your own life. Think for a moment when you felt that you were excluded, or you were somehow said, "I don't think you belong. You need to be over there." Think about when that happened for you and what were the feelings that were associated with it. It's happened to me a number of times, and I always hate the feelings. Yeah, I feel like I got cooties, right? People don't want to be around me. Probably the biggest cooties I think I've experienced were the cooties. In my old life, being married somehow gave me the cooties. I am so thankful that I am married, and my lovely wife Rosa Maria is here, and my children and grandchildren are part. And you know, when I'd be in different circles, people would know my former life as a Roman Catholic priest. There's that sense of sometimes the shaming that goes on by, we just aren't going to talk about it. We'll pretend you weren't. We accept you, but we'll pretend you. We don't know anything about that part of your life. Think about it in your lives. When have people done that to you? It's like, we're going to just pretend, right? How does that make you feel? How did that make you feel? It's like, oh man, but I am me. I need to be me. And I need to feel good about that. I'm so thankful when I think of back in the day, you know, when I was going through discernment and I ran across some priests that had been married, and they were independent Catholic priests. And then I met Bishop Peter and met his wife, and then was invited to be a part of this that we became. And instead of feeling like I have cooties, I feel beloved, I feel loved, I feel accepted, and isn't that the way so many of us feel when we come and we recognize what our stories have been, whatever they are, and we come into this beloved community and we feel, you walk into the door and you feel like, I feel good. I could be myself. And I'm loved. And I'm cared for. And whatever my past has been, whoever I am right now, with all decisions I've made, and even though society might be pointing a finger at me like I've got some sort of cooties, not here, brothers and sisters. Here, you're beloved. Here, you're welcomed. Here, in God's presence, you know who you are. In God's body, which is the body of Christ here, you feel whole and accepted. Think of those feelings and how good it is when you know who you are, how you are, and that you're fully accepted. One of the things that happens to me is like, I want to reach out and help others feel that way. Others to feel accepted and welcomed. How many of you have reached out to a friend and that's why they're here? Who are the people here that sort of reached out to you and said, come on, you got to join me in this community because there's just a lot of love here. There's a lot of goodness. Cal Kemper is on the Zoom today, and he was the pastor here at a time when Mother Kay and I were wondering, where can we find a place? And Mother Kay found Pastor Kemper and asked, and the welcome that we received from the United Church of Christ through Pastor Cal, through their community, and the ongoing welcome that we have received has been such a touch. When we think of our ecumenical Catholic communion, the ecumenical peace, it's like, oh, thank you, brothers and sisters of United Church of Christ, for welcoming us. And we might have been, yeah, welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We might have felt like, from whatever perhaps other places we came from, we were like outcast, but you've made us feel welcome and part of the bigger body of Christ. And by being with you and in your space and being connected to so many sisters and brothers and siblings that perhaps didn't grow up Roman Catholic that way some of us did, but we feel like, yeah, we know you and you know us, and we're connected. We're sisters and brothers and siblings. I'm so thankful for all of you who have taken on the challenge to come and be a part of this community for the time that you were here. We have some past folks that are here today coming that haven't been here for a long time. Welcome back. You're always welcome, as you know. People who are coming for some of the first times here, know that this community will always welcome you and accept you and encourage you to be the best you that you can be. The welcome we received. I encourage you, as we continue the liturgy, Mother and Bishop Kay is going to share a little something for us today. I'd encourage you to think, who is it that you know that maybe is feeling outside the circle of love, who might be feeling somehow that they're not good enough, they aren't worthy enough, that they're somehow damaged goods, and they need a place like this, maybe in your family, in your friendship, maybe in this church community. Invite them in. Have a cup of coffee with them, a tea, a beer, whatever it takes to sit down with them and say, what's your story? It seems like you've been cast away. Like to welcome you back. Think about who that is during Mass. Say, Holy Spirit, illuminate in me. Who is that? Who are the folks that I need to invite into my own heart? And of course, as we see people, we have all these gifts here for people who are living on the streets, people who are living hand to mouth. We don't have to look far to know that in our midst there's people that have deep, deep needs. that are from a perspective of being out and not a part of. They're experiencing it day in and day out. And it's a reminder to us, like, how can I reach out? How can I be God's presence to them, right? So.
I just have two or three words that say, yay, God. Yay, God, look at this. This is wonderful to be here with you. And I'm so grateful. And so I was just going to give you a clue that during dinner, I'm going to read a letter from Bishop Peter, who is congratulating us. And I'll introduce the United Church of Christ folks who are here. And so we'll have a little bit of a while we're eating program as well. So I'd like to invite some youth to come forward that are going to read our prayers of the faithful. Let us pray to the Creator of all, who wants everyone to be whole, and who does not reject anyone who appeals to him.